Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called V'nocha Olav Ruach Hashem. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Achron Shel Pesach in the year Tavshin Yud Dalid, 70 years ago. And the Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of Achron Shel Pesach, the last days of Pesach, in the year Tavshin Memches. So the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse from Isaiah, which is the prophet that we use for the Haftorah on Achron Shel Pesach, where it says as follows: V'nocha olav ruach Hashem, the spirit of Hashem is going to pee upon him. Ruach, the spirit of chachma and bina, different levels of knowledge, and ruach etza and gvura, the spirit of counsel and discipline. Ruach, the spirit of das, the yiras Hashem, another level of understanding and being God fearing. V'shafat v'tzedek dalim, he's going to rule the people. In other words, through the fact that all these powerful spirits are going to be upon him. There's the Ruach Hashem, the Spirit of Hashem, the Spirit of Chachma, the Spirit of Bina, Eitzan Gvura, etc. Through that, he's going to be able to go ahead and rule, and his rulership is going to be in a righteous way. So you ever ask the question, one second. The connection between ruling in a righteous way, and if that's usually connected to chachma and being understanding, that's when you're trying to rule based on logic. But since we know Mashiach, it says that v'hirichoy b'yiras Hashem demoyach v'adoyim, which means he's not going to rule based on logic. He's going to rule based on divine inspiration. So what does it have to do, this ruling, with Chachma and Bina? Chachma and Bina is intellect's not going to be ruling over here. It's going to be the Spirit of Hashem. And Rebbe explains, because the fact is, the Ruach Hashem, when it says that he's going to have the Spirit of Hashem, that's going to be, yes, that's going to be the main energy, and it's going to go down, from there into his Chachma and Bina. And those are the details of the Ruach Hashem. So, and that's basically the connection between the spirit of Chachma and Bina, of being able to rule in a righteous manner, because the Chachma and Bina, when they come as a byproduct of Ruach Hashem, it's a whole different level. And that's connected not only to when you're trying to rule something based on intellect, but even the Messiah that's going to go ahead and rule based on Reach, based on the smell, by Chmerich Vedoyin, that's also connected to Ruach Hashem. So Rebbe explains very simple that what's going to happen is the Messiah is going to get the divine inspiration. From there, it's going to go into the intellect. From there, it's going to go into his rulership. So ultimately, the rulership is coming from really from the spirit. Rebbe says, well, understand this idea with an introduction. What it's brought down in Chazal, and it says, Oir Ein Soif, the light of Hashem, the infinite part of the light of Hashem, Lamaila Adin Ketz, it's on the highest level, Ulamata Mata Adin Tachlis on the lowest level. And when we say high and low, we don't mean physically higher and physically lower. We're talking obviously spiritually higher, spiritually lower. So the infinite part of Hashem is on the highest levels and the lowest levels. Rebbe says it's known, the question that's asked, one second. When you say high and low, and even on a spiritual level, so obviously it's finite. High, it's finite, it's not low. Low, it's finite, it's not high, it's finite. So how's it possible to say two things together? Oyer Ein Sof, the infinite part of Hashem, it's high and it's low, it's finite. If it's infinite, then it's not finite. Now, seemingly, Rebbe says, you can say that when we say high and low, it's not referring to the infinite part of Hashem, because that's infinite, but it's referring to the worlds. And therefore, what does it mean the infinite part of Hashem is high and low? That means the infinite part of Hashem in the worlds, it spreads out on all the levels, the highest level and the lowest level. But there is one second. If you're trying to say, when we say Oyer Ein Sof, higher and lower, it's not referring to light. It's referring to the world where it spreads out. So you should have said a different terminology. What's the in Hebrew, it's called Lesa Sar Panimine. There's no place that's devoid of the infinite part of Hashem. But not to say higher and lower. It means you're dividing it to higher or lower. Why divide it? Say there's no place. Hashem is not there. So the question then is, what does it mean when it says Oyer Ein Sof, the infinite part of Hashem, is on the higher, on high and low, and that's finite when the Hashem's factor is Oyer Ein Sof is infinite. The Rebbe says that the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Chabad Rebbe, which is known as the Lechatchila Rebbe, explains that in order to understand what it means that the infinite part of Hashem is on the highest level and it comes down to the lowest level, he says in order to really understand it, you have to have an introduction. What's the introduction? The introduction is the two worlds actually four worlds, but two in two divisions. Atzilus, the highest world, and Biyah, which is the three worlds of Briya, Tzira, Asiya. So in order to understand what does it mean, Hashem is in the highest level, Eirin Soif, and the lowest level, you have to first, we're going to go now into an in-depth discussion, what is the world of Atzilus all about, and what is the world of Biyah, which means Briya, Tzira, Asiya. And he explains like this. The difference between the world of Atzilus and the world of Briya, Yetzirah, and Asiya is, like it's brought down in Tikkuni Zohar, in the title called Pasuk Aliyahu, and he says over there as follows: V'kama gufin tekinesh lein. How many bodies did Hashem set up? And they're called bodies. Why is it called a body? Compared to a garment that covers it. So in other words, it says how many bodies? Why are you calling it a body? What? And the reason why you're calling it a body? Because just like your body has garments on it, so there's garments that come around and on top of the body. In other words, what does that mean practically? That the 10 spheres of the world of Atzilus are considered like a body. And Biyah, Briya, Tzira, Asiya, even the 10 spheres of Briya, Tzira, Asiya, they're garments for the 10 spheres of Atzilus, which gets enclosed within them. So in other words, what he's saying is like this. He's quoting that the difference between what the Zohar says, the difference between Atzilus and Biyah is that Atzilus basically is the body. What does it mean it's a body? It's not physical, but it's a body because there's something that goes on top of it, that covers over it. And what covers, so what is the body once the part that covers over it? The body is basically the 10 spheres of the world of Atzilus, and the garment that covers over it, Abriot, is the 10 spheres of the world of Briya, Yetzirah, and Asiya. And the Alter Rebbe explains in a Chassidic discourse with the same title of Pasuk Aliyahu, and he explains the difference between the body, which we know is now referring to the 10 spheres of Atzilus, and the garments, which is the 10 spheres of the world of Briya, Tzira, Asiya. So in order to understand that, we'll understand that just like we see the difference between the body and a garment, the way it applies to a human being. Like the expression is, "Mivsari echser lakaf, my flesh, I'll see godliness." In other words, take a look at a body of a human being. So the body is a body, but it's a garment for the soul. You know, the body is the body, but it's a garment for the soul. And like it says, Oyru Vasvatal B'Sheni, that over the soul you put on skin and flesh, etc. Now, so you have the soul, the body, which basically covers or connected to the soul. And then you have garments on top of the body. Now, the body that covers and connected to the soul, that's totally one with the soul. However, when it comes to garments, they're disconnected. You can take off your garments. The body you can take off. Now, the idea of the body, which is connected to the soul, and the garments, which are connected to the body but can be taken off, also applies on our spiritual powers that come from our soul. In other words, what's our spiritual powers? So the spiritual powers are, for example, that from the soul you have intellect and emotions. And that is the body of the soul. So on the physical level, you have the body and you have the garments. On a spiritual level, you have the soul. The body, so to speak, that's connected is the intellect and the emotions. And the garments are the thought, speech, and action. That's the garments of the soul. Now, what does that mean? That, because the fact is like this. So we're dealing with three components: the soul, the body, which is basically the intellect and emotions, and the garments, which is basically the thought, speech, and action. So the soul itself, even though the intellect and emotions come from the soul itself, it's much higher, much deeper than the intellect and emotions. And technically, the intellect and emotions is only really a garment for the soul. But nevertheless, because the intellect and the emotions are enclosed with the soul, for in other words, so because of that, it has the power to comprehend things, to love things, etc. And the intellect and emotions are connected, are one with the soul. However, when it comes to thought, speech, and action, even though they are connected to the intellect and emotions, to the soul, etc., but they're totally disconnected. It's its own independent identity. What does that mean? In other words, what we're saying is that the intellect and the emotions is connected with the soul. It's one with the soul. And thought, speech, and action is, so to speak, independent. And what does that mean? And he explains like this. The difference between a garment which is basically connected and one versus a garment which is basically separate, has its own identity, that a garment which has its own identity, you can take it off. However, a garment which is one with it, just like the body and the soul, you can't take the body away from the soul. So the same thing also, you can't take away the intellect and the emotions from the soul. Versus the garments you can take off, so your thought, speech, and action you can also take off. And that's why when it comes to thought, speech, and action, they're independent identities. And intellect and emotions, they're one with the soul. Why is that? Because the fact is, when you're dealing with speech and action, you can take it off. Like we know clearly, where King Solomon says, the time to speak, and the time not to speak. That means you don't always have to speak. That means a garment you could wear, you could take it off. So you can do and not do. You can speak and not speak. And even thought, which is constant, you can't stop thinking, but you can switch what you're thinking about without any much effort. However, when it comes to the intellect and the emotions, since they're part of the soul, in order to change your intellect, the way you intellectually comprehend things, the way you emotionally react to certain things, that takes a lot of effort, because that's really an expression of the soul. And not only that, there are certain parts of your intellect and your emotions that even with tremendous effort you can't change. Why? Because the intellect and the emotions are basically an expression of your soul. Very powerful idea. The intellect and the emotions really expressing your soul. The way you think, it's coming from your soul. The way you feel, that's coming from your soul. Versus speech, thought, and action, that you can speak. You could speak, you're not speaking. There's no necessarily connection. You can actually think and speak and do opposite of your soul. And that's why the 10 spheres of Atzilus are called bodies. And Bia, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya are called garments. Why? Because the three worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, that's like, the example would be, thought, speech, and action. In other words, the world of Bria is more connected to thought. The world of Yetzirah is more connected to speech. And the world of action is connected to action. And those are independent existence. Just like thought, speech, and action is independent existence, the same thing also, the world of Bria Yetzirah Asiya is an independent existence. However, when you're dealing with the 10 spheres of the world of Atzilus, so even though you can't compare the 10 spheres of Atzilus to the infinite part of Hashem, but nevertheless, it's connected. It's one with the infinite part of Hashem. Like it says clearly in the Zohar, Ihu v'garmeyuchad, it's all one. And that's why it's called a body. Why? Because it's like a body that even though you can't compare the body to the soul, but it's one with the soul. So in other words, before we go deeper into this, what the Rebbe is explaining is like this, that in order to understand Maila and Mata, higher and lower, we have to first understand, we have to understand the world, the difference between the world of Atzilus and Bia. So far what he explained is, and he brings from the Zohar, that the world of Atzilus is called the body, and the world of Bia is called the garments, and the difference between the body and the soul is the body is connected. Even though the soul and the body is two different worlds, that's godly and this is physical, but they're connected. There's no disconnect. Versus thought, speech, and action, it's independent. So the same thing also, Atzilus, even though it's already after the Tzimtzum, but it's still connected to the infinite light before the Tzimtzum. Bria Yetzirah Asiya has its own independent existence. And to go further, never explain to this. What does it mean? And it was to explain the idea that the 10 spheres of Atzilus is called, we said, the body, where it's connected, and Bria Yetzirah Asiya is called the garments, where it's totally independent. We're going to go into it now a step deeper. And we're going to understand this based on with an introduction of the difference between, before we used the body and the garment. Now he's going to use a different terminology. The difference between a garment which is one versus a garment which is separate. In other words, not only whether, like for example, you can take it off, like the example we gave before, but it's deeper. It's actually totally different. Besides the fact that you can take it off, a garment which is one It's one. A garment which is separate, besides the fact that you can take it off, it's totally different. In other words, what does that mean? It explains like this. When we say there's a garment which is one, what does it mean it's one? It doesn't have its own independent existence. Body doesn't exist without the soul. Garments exist without the body. So the Vusham Yuchid means a garment which is one means that it does not have its own independent existence. In other words, because the minute it has its own independent existence, and even for whatever reasons, you're saying it's stuck and you can't take it off, but the fact that it has its own existence is called in Hebrew a nifrit. It's totally disconnected. And so that is... And so what does it mean that's a garment which is totally one? That his old purpose is to be a garment for this? That's with it. So in other words, like this, the body, even though technically that you can say the soul's the soul, the body's the body. But the fact is the body is all purposes to be a body for the soul. And that's who it is. And that's the main difference between the body and the garments that we have. Because a garment has its own thing, it's had its own existence. And because it has its own existence, it actually has the power and the ability to cover up on the body. Because it doesn't represent the body. It can cover up the whole body. However, the body, what's the whole body? The whole purpose of the body is to be a garment and a vessel for the soul that's inside. And therefore, the body doesn't hide the soul. Because you look at the body, you see the person's alive. Even though technically the soul is godly and the body is a physical thing, but guess what? From the body, you see the soul's alive. And that's the reason... that because the body is one with the soul and it doesn't have its own independent existence, therefore the body automatically listens to the will of the soul. In other words, when the soul decides it wants something from the body, it happens automatically. It doesn't have to call a meeting and say, okay, I'm instructing you to do this. It happens automatic. Why does it happen automatic? Because the body and the soul are one on that level. And because it's one at that level, the minute the soul wants something, the body goes ahead and does it. Because the whole purpose of the body is to be a vessel for the soul. So therefore, the effect of the will of the soul in the body happens automatically. And the same thing also, bring it back full circle, would apply to the difference between intellect, emotions, versus thought, speech, and action. In other words, what's the main difference? That when it comes to thought, speech, and action, thought is its own thoughts. Speech has its own existence. Action is its own own action. However, when you have intellect and emotions in the thought, speech, and action, that's like it's an added thing. It's not really what it is. And because of that, the thought, speech, and action can cover up and disguise the intellect and emotions that are in them. You can think, say, and do different things than you intellectually agree with and emotionally feel because it's independent. However, when you're dealing with the intellect itself and the emotions itself, it's a vessel for the soul which is in them. And what's felt in a real way is whatever's felt in the soul. That means that the soul... obviously goes through the process of intellect and does kindness through the process of chesed. So based on this, we'll understand even deeper back to the point about Atzilut, why the 10 spheres of Atzilut is called the body and Bri Yetzirah Asiyah is called the garment. Why? Because Bri Yetzirah Asiyah, even the vessels of the 10 spheres of Asiyah, is something, it's a yesh. It has its own existence. However, when you're dealing with the 10 spheres of Atzilus, even the vessels is part of God. So in other words, what he's saying is like this, powerful. We're trying to stay focused. We're trying to understand the idea of higher and lower. So he said we have to understand the difference between Atzilus and Biyah. What we just learned so far about Atzilus and Biyah? On one hand, Atzilus basically means it's one with the soul. Biyah means it's separate. And not only is it one and separate, by Atzilus, it's an expression. of godly, just like the body's an expression of the soul, and it's connected, and doesn't conceal it, and versus the garments do conceal, Atzilus expresses from higher, and it doesn't conceal from higher. Versus Bri and Siyasiyah actually conceals its own independent entity. In simple language, like he uses, that Atzilus is godly, and it represents godliness, and Biyah is materialistic, and it represents self. Now, this difference between Atzilus and Biyah, that Atzilus is godly, and Bri and Siyasiyah is totally disconnected, its own identity, not only the way it's played out, but it's also, we're going to go now deeper, in the source of their creation. So till now we focus on Atzilus and Biyah. Atzilus is connected, Biyah is disconnected. Now he's going to take us on a journey even deeper to show us that in the source of the creation, it exists there in the same way as well. Why is that? Because the creation of Atzilus comes from where? From light. Atzilus is created from light. The creation of Bria Yetzirasiyah is created from Koyach. Koyach means power. So, Atzilus is created from light, Biyah is created from power. What does that mean? And he explains it this. It's known that in the books of philosophy, Jewish philosophy, what do they call drawing down godly energy? They use a term. The term they use is called Shefa. Shefa means a flow. And a flow applies on something physical. Like, for example, you have a flow of water. The water is flowing. It was here and it's flowing there. Also on a spiritual level. Like, there's a flow of intellect. There's a flow of ideas. So that's in the world of philosophy. That what? That drawing down godliness, the term they use is Shefa. In the world of Kabbalah, what do they do? What terminology they use for a flow of energy? They use the term light. So again, remember, so we don't get, Atzilus is what is created from light, Biyah is created from Koyach, which we're going to get back to. But now he's going to try to explain that. In order to explain it, he's giving us an introduction that in the world of philosophy, the flow of energy is called, godly energy is called Shefa, and Kabbalah is called light. Now, the reason why the philosophers call the flow of godly energy Shefa, because what does Shefa say? It's not talking about the thing that's being transmitted. And therefore, they spoke about the flow of godly energy, Shefa, not to create another existence. Not to create something which is finite. So I mean, since it's godly energy, so they said Shefa. The Shefa means that the godly energy is moving. You're not creating an independent self. Now, the reasons why the Kabbalists call the flow of energy light, even though light is, you're describing something, it's light, because light has a quality where it's always connected to its source. Light is always connected to its source. And what happens when light gets disconnected from its source? It's not light anymore. So light is always connected. However, when you're dealing with Shefa of flow, even after it gets, let's say water leaves its source, it's disconnected from the source. Like look at the flow of water. So it exists even after it leaves its source place. Same thing also if you have a flow of intellect. That the intellect that you transmit to a student, it exists even after it left the teacher's intellect. So therefore the Kabbalists don't want to use the term Shefa. Because Shefa means once it leaves, it's not connected. And the Kabbalists want to use the term light because light is always connected. And that's what they call the flow of godliness, light, to show that the flow is always connected to its source. So again, so what we learned so far, you have the idea of Atzilus is light, Biyah is Koyach. Now we just learned again the difference between the Kabbalist and the philosophers, they use the term Shefa. Why? Because not to create a separate entity. That's what's flowing. Versus the Kabbalists want to use the word light because light is always connected to it, is always connected to its source. So based on this, one second, we have to understand, it says in the verse, Ata sisa shemayim, you created the heaven, the earth, and the earth, and uses the term what? B'koychacha hagadol, with your power. It doesn't use the word light. It doesn't use not Shefa, not Ur. It uses the term power, Koyach. Why does he use the word Koyach? You know, the fact is that koyach, a power, could exist even after it gets disconnected from a source. We don't understand from the Kabbalists using light, because light always needs a source. But koyach, if you throw something, it exists after it left its source. Like, take time when you throw something, that the power of throwing a stone, for example, takes it, and it gets disconnected from its source. But since you're saying that the godly energy is always connected, so why does the verse say, b'koyach ha-gadol, with power? Power seemingly creates a disconnection. It never explains like this. That in order for the things that Hashem created, the heaven and the earth, etc., to create something that becomes a something, and it becomes an independent existence, there had to be a contraction in the light of Hashem that creates it, and the contraction creates a power which actually is disconnected from its source. So in other words, on one hand, you want the light because it's connected, but in order to be able to exist, if you're always connected, how can you have your own independent existence? How can you create a physical world? Now, even though the truth is, the power that creates the things that are created is always connected to its source. In other words, because even anything Hashem created, you don't really have your own independence and entity, and we're always being recreated from Hashem, and obviously that power, that source is always connected to Hashem. But the fact is, in reference to the part that's created, it looks like its own independent entity, and that's how you become something. So in other words, to be clear, so what did we just learn? The philosophers call it what? Shefa, because this way there's nothing new that's created. Or the Kabbalists call it why? Because it's connected. But what about koyach? Koyach creates that it's connected, but to the creation it looks like it's disconnected, even though it's really always connected. So in other words, so now we'll see the difference between Atzilus and Bria Yetzirah Asiyah. Bria Yetzirah Asiyah, which just has its own independent existence, and we said Atzilus is totally one with Hashem, is connected to the source of creation. Because Biyah, what's the source of creating the world, Bri Yetzirah Asiyah, is from Koyach. And what does Koyach mean? So even though it's connected, but it looks like it's disconnected. And the creation of Atzilus comes from Ur, which still, in the revealed sense, it still shows its connection. Okay, so before we go a step further, so we're learning so far about Atzilus and Biyah. And Atzilus basically is connected, Biyah is disconnected, and now he went a step further to say that in the source of creation, that the Atzilus comes from light, which always has that connection, you see the connection, and if it's not connected, it's not there. And Biyah, on the other hand, is like Koyach, where it looks like it's disconnected, even though in theory, even though in reality it is, but it looks like it's disconnected. Now, Rebbe says we know that in Atzilus, you have the acceptance, bittul, of Yichudei Eloh, the highest level of acceptance where it's totally one. In simple terms, it's called the bittul, the acceptance of Klal Chashiv. In Atzilus, there is no existence that feels like, oh, I'm a somebody. It's totally all about Hashem. It doesn't exist. This physical world doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. In other words, that the acceptance of the thing that was created, from the thing that created it, it's not only, okay, I'm not my independent existence. Like that would apply to someone that's created in the world of Bria Yetzirah Asiyah, that they're someone separate and they're accepting Hashem. No. It's deeper. They don't have any, it's not like they exist and they're becoming humble. No, there's no me. There's no me. It's nothing. The Hebrew word is klal chashiv, nothing. In the world of Atzilus, nothing else exists other than Hashem. And we'll understand this based on what it's known. Like we discussed before, the difference between light, which always is connected, and shefa, which is a flow. And what do you mean shefa? When something flows, the thing that's flowing, it's a something that's flowing. And therefore, what happens is when something flows and it leaves its original place, in its original place, it's lacking. So when there's a shefa, whether it's water, whether it's intellect, whether it's emotions. So true, it's coming from its original place, but now in original place it's lacking. However, when you're dealing with light, light is just a ray. And the ray is like nothing compared to its source. And therefore, it does not create any lacking in its source place. And the reasons why the Kabbalists call the flow of godliness, light, to bring out that this that Hashem creates and gives vitality to all the worlds, just like in light, it doesn't take away anything from its source. Hashem has not changed one iota by Him creating the world. Because the creation of the world and the vitality of the world is only a ray which is nothing compared to its source. Now, this idea that the light has no comparison to its source is also felt in the light itself. Well, how can be felt in the light itself? Very simple. Because the light is always connected to its source. And even wherever the light is, what does the light feel? The light feels its source. So this, that there's no comparison to source, and you has no connection really to the source, the light feels it. The light knows and feels that it's just a light. It's just a ray. And its whole existence from its source. And wherever it is, it feels its source. So based on this, we'll understand why the acceptance, the bittul, of the things that were created to the thing that created it, not only it's not its own independent existence, but it's nothing. It has no value. Why? Because since the creation of Atzilus comes somewhere from light, and it's always connected to its source. So what does it always feel? Nothing. The source is where it's at. So therefore, even the things that were created, what is shining there? The revelation of the higher knowledge, that the essence of the infinite Hashem, that's the Yesh Ha'amiti, the true existence. And everything after that is like nothing. Okay, so what do we see? That when you're dealing with the light of Atzilus, what does that represent? That the real existence is what? Hashem. And everything else is just the ray. Zero value. Value of its own existence. Obviously, the value is that it's connected to its source. So based on this, he explains beautifully, that's why it says, Oyr Ein Sof, the infinite light, Lamayla Mayla Adin Ketz, on the highest levels, and Lamata Mata Adin Tachlis. What does that mean? What does Mayla and Mata mean? And it's a beautiful insight into higher and lower. Mayla is referring to the world of Atzilus, and Mata is referring to the world of Bria Tziyasiya. And the source of their creation comes from, like we learned before, the light and the power of the Oyr Ein Sof, which is also compared to the idea of higher and lower. In other words, this that we have, the power, koyach, in Ein Sof, that gives the ability for it to come down to create mata, which means bri yetzir asiya. Just that the power of Ein Sof has the power to expand and go down to a place where, so to speak, God is concealed, to create a power which is disconnected and to become a something. And the light is the part, is the feeling that it's nothing. That's the highest level. So we explain like this. Ultimately, everything comes from Oyr Ein Sof. The Oyr, the light, goes to the world of Atzilus. And that is Lamai Lamai, which means, wow, it's all about Hashem. The Koyach from Oyr Ein Sof, which comes down to Lamata, to Biyah, that creates its own existence. And that's when it says, Oyr Ein Sof, Lamai Lamai, on the highest levels, and Lamata Mata, it's on the lowest levels. In other words, the elevation and the completion of Oyr Ein Sof is in two areas. There's two powerful components to the infinite part of Hashem. One is that it comes down to the lowest places, and low we mean with God is, so to speak, concealed, to create and to give energy to everything that exists in the world of Bria Tziyasiya. And in there itself, it goes down to the lowest levels. That means not only it comes down to the world of Bria, and it comes down to the world of Asiya, and Yetzira, and it goes down to the world of Asiya, but even in the world of Asiya, it comes down to this materialistic, coarse world that doesn't recognize God, the lowest levels. And two, that even the highest worlds, Atzilus, which is a high world, and even higher than Atzilus, as high as it is, you can't compare it to the infinite part of Hashem. So that is a beautiful, beautiful insight. an explanation of what does it mean, Eir and Soif is the highest and the lowest, based on what we learned about Atzilus and Biyah, that in Eir and Soif has the power, on one hand, it's connected to the world of Atzilus, which means to the highest level of light, that the light realizes the ultimate creation of Hashem, but also goes down to Biyah, the Koyach, where one can think you have its own independent existence. I'd like to add, and this we explained before, that high and low, we just learned, is what Atzilus and Biyah. That's in general. But more specifically, the idea of high and low, you have both in the world of Atzilus and in the world of Biyah. Before he separate, Atzilus is high, Biyah is low. Now he's saying in Atzilus you have high and low, and in Biyah you have high and low. What does that mean? He explains it this. That even in the world of Atzilus, and even higher than Atzilus, you also have the component of low, and the same thing also in the world of Bri and Siyasir, you also have the idea of high. How does that work? And he explains it this. What is the true idea when you say something you can't compare? There's no comparison. In other words, that all the world's nothing to compare to Hashem. What does that mean? That Atzilus, and even higher, and the physical world, it's really all one. From the level of the infinite part, the essence of Hashem, is there a difference between Atzilus and Asiyah? There's no difference. You can't compare to the infinite. Now, in reference to what level is Atzilus and Asiyah the same thing, that is in reference to the Eir Ein Sof, the infinite part of Hashem, before the Tzimtzum, before the contraction. Why is that? Because the levels that after the Tzimtzum, after the contraction, so after the contraction, the way things flow from one level to the next, in Kabbalistic terms, is called Ilav Al, which means cause and effect. So obviously, there's a cause and effect, so the cause is higher than the effect. And therefore, you can have higher and lower. But in reference to before the Tzimtzum, it's all the same thing. And even in reference to the light of the Kav, so also the worlds have some kind of a value, and some kind of relativity. Now, since the world were created from where? From the Kav, from this line that came down, and through the revelation of a Kav, as we know that every time there's something that you put in an effort, it comes through the effort that was put into it. So obviously it has some kind of connection to the level of the Kav. However, when you're comparing it to the Eir Ein Sof, the infinite part before the Tzimtzum, and since from this level of the revelation of the infinite part of Hashem, you couldn't hack it before the Tzimtzum. How can you have a world? You can't have a world. It's before the Tzimtzum. How are you creating a world? So therefore, you have to go ahead and create a Tzimtzum, which means you have to empty out the space of the light. And when you emptied it, it was an empty space that was created. And that's how you're able to create the world. So therefore, in relation to the infinite light of before the Tzimtzum, the world's all nothing to compare to Hashem. Up to the level that Atzilus and Asiyah is all the same thing. So again, so compared to the light before the Tzimtzum, Atzilus and Asiyah, it's all one thing. Afterwards, yes, there's different levels. Now, but since the light of Soiviv, the light that hovers over the worlds, which means it shines into the world in a way of makiv, it hovers over. So what happens then is at least the revelation of the light of before the Tzimtzum. So therefore, through the light of Soiviv, what's felt, and obviously on a makif level, that you can't compare to it. And that's why that even in the world of Atzilus, and even in the high, even higher than Atzilus, there's a level of higher and lower. Why? Because this that you have, like an order, a cause and effect, it means they have some kind of relation one to the other, that is in reference to the lower level of it. But this that's felt through the Eir Soiviv, that you can't compare, that's the higher part. So in other words, you have two parts. On one hand, you have the higher part, which basically compared to the high, before the Tzimtzum, it's all the same thing. And then you have, after the Tzimtzum, one is higher, one is lower. And the same thing applies also in the world of Bri Yetzir Asiya. You also have the component of what, where it's higher. How is that? Because the light that hovers over, what does it mean? It hovers over all the worlds, even the world of Bri Yetzir Asiya. So therefore, because of the Eir HaSoiviv, which basically hovers over everything, so in the world you have the want and the willingness to cleave to the infinite part of Hashem, and that's the higher part of it. So what he's saying so far is like this: till now we learned Atzilus is the higher, Bri Yetzirah is the lower. What we just learned that yes, Even in both, you have both. So, and Atzilus is the higher, we know that. And what's the lower part? Because when compared to the infinite, it's all the same things. That's the lower part. On the other hand, in Bia, which we know is the lower part, but the fact that it's connected to Eira Seve, so there's a, even in this materialistic world, we have our dependent existence, we want to yearn to a higher level. That's the higher part. So based on this, he explains, now we'll see why it has a double expression. It says, Lamai Lamaila, twice higher, and Lamata Lamata, twice lower. Why? Because the higher and the lower in the worlds is two parts. In other words, one is that Natsilis is higher and Biah is lower, and B, that you have the higher part in Biah where it's yearning to go higher, and also the physical part that's in Natsilis, and even higher Natsilis compared to the infinite part of Hashem. Now, okay, so what Rebbe just recapped and said is that basically the higher and lower applies both, not only in Atzilus Biah, two separate things, but even Atzilus has both and Biah has both. Okay, Rebbe said like this. It's known that the light of the Kav, which came after the Tzimtzum, has its source also in the light of before the Tzimtzum. So the light has its source before the Tzimtzum. Why is that? Because the light before the Tzimtzum, before there was a contraction, there's two levels. Now we're going to go very deep now, so let's get into it. There's two levels. One is, before Hashem even had a thought to create the world, there was a time, if you go back in time, Hashem wanted to create the world, but before he wanted, so there was a time he didn't, never such a thought existed. So there was a time before Hashem even had a thought or a will to create the world. So on that level, world, what do you mean? There was never even a thought for it. That's one level, the highest level. There was before even there was a thought about creating the world. But then there's a level before the Tzimtzum, after Hashem decided to create the world. He didn't create it yet. So it means there is room now to create a world. Hashem wants it. You know, for example, think about before you had a desire. It doesn't exist. Then you have a desire, so you have to do it. But before you do it, so you have two levels. One before you even had a desire, and one once you had desire. These two levels, that's the source of Eir HaSoivev and Eir HaMali, the light that hovers over the world and the light that fills the world, which comes after its symptoms. Why is that? Because the light that hovers over, what's the source of that? That is before Hashem even had a plan to create the world. The light that fills the world, which is the Eir HaKav, the source is before Hashem, before the Tzimtzum, where Hashem already had a desire to create the world. And that's why it says Eir and Soif Lamaila Lamaila Adinketz Lamata and Tachlis, that these two ideas of Maila and Mata, they exist in the infinite part of Hashem himself. They exist, he's taking it a step further, they exist even before Hashem decided to create the world, even before the Tzimtzum, which means Maila Maila before he even had a desire, and Mata Mata after he had a desire, and that creates a source of Eir and Soif Benayim Hamali. Now, there was known that the light, now we're going a step further and deeper. The light, before it gets revealed, where was the light, the ray, before it got revealed? It existed in the essence of the source of light. So before the ray came out, it didn't just create it after it came out. It existed in the source of the light itself. Now, however, when it was in the source of the light itself, it's not light. So what was it there? It's called, it has the power to give off light. You have light the way it comes out. Before it comes out, it's in its source. That means, but it's not light there. It has the power to come out. So based on Shabbat says, you can say that the two levels in light of before the Tzimtzum means before Hashem decided, and after he decided, but again, before the Tzimtzum, they both have a source in the light where was included in the source that has the power to come out. And he explains like this. This, that the essence of Hashem in the source has the power, before he decided, to give off light, it's not a specific thing that this becomes a source of the light. But since Hashem is Kol Yachal, he can do anything. What does that mean? That he has the power to give off light. And he also has the power not to give off light. And both of these things, that he has the power to give off light, and he has the power not to give off light, really it's all one. And since in this light, which is in the essence of Hashem, that means he has the power to give off light. And in this power, he has also the power not to give off light. So therefore, when the light comes out in a revealed way, the light itself has both components in it. It has the component of concealment, where he had a choice. It couldn't. He didn't have to give off the light. And he has a source where it didn't have the choice to give out light, which is higher than having a connection to the world and anything to do with the world. And that ultimately becomes a source of Soid Mamali, which after the Tzimtzum. And from there you have the higher and the lower in the world. So Rebbe is saying something so powerful. He's taking us so deeper. In other words, we had a Tzilzum Biyah, which the source was weir, Iron Kayach, which the source was in before the Tzimtzum, of Soid Mamali, which before the Tzimtzum, which means before he had the idea and after he had the idea. Now he's taking even deeper that in the source of light, where from there he had the power to give off light and the power not to give off light, that is ultimately the source for everything that comes afterwards. So now the Rebbe is going to explain so beautifully and so powerfully. That's why the verse says, V'nocha olav ruach Hashem, that's going to rest upon him is the spirit of Hashem. Now we know that the main revolutionary idea of Mashiach is that he's going to unite the higher and the lower. Mashiach's here to unite higher and lower. Now, where does the beginning of creating the unity of the higher and lower, where did that take place? When we split the sea. But then, when he split the sea, that was only for a moment. And that was actually, it was away for a moment as a preparation to receive the Torah. And what happened in the Mount Torah? There was the union that the higher came down to the lower. And the lower came up higher. But the true connection of higher and lower, when is that going to be the ultimate connection of higher, when Mashiach comes? And like it says in the Medrash, in the book of Tillim, based on the verse, Mi Yitain Mitzion, who is going to give from Zion? So we see that it actually says twice in the book of Psalms, Mi Yitain Mitzion. One in the first book, and one in Tillim, it's divided up into five sections. So one in the first section, and the second one in the second section. One, he says, the teacher said it, which is King David. And the second one, King David's student said it. And we look in the Torah, what did the teacher say? What did Moshe say? Mi yitain, who's going to give a hayel avavam zelahem? Who's going to give that we should have our heart should be cleaving to Hashem? What does the student say? A reference to who's going to give that the Yeshua, what did he say? Who's going to give that everyone should be prophets? In other words, and what happened was, what did Moshe Rabbeinu want? Everyone's heart should be connected to Hashem. The student Yeshua wanted prophecy. But what happened was not the teacher. What the teacher wanted is the heart. And not what the student wanted happened in this world. But when Mashiach comes, both of them are going to be fulfilled. The worlds of the word of the teacher, that everyone should be prophets. Like it says clearly in the prophets, V'nasati lechem lev chadash. God's going to give us a new heart. Our hearts are going to connect to Hashem. And also the fulfillment, the wish of the student about prophecy, like it says in the prophets, that afterwards, Eshbar Chesruchi Al Chalbasar, the prophecy is going to be spilled out on everybody. In other words, this that the physical heart, a physical heart, is going to be that it's going to be able to be in awe of Hashem all those days. What does that mean? How can a physical heart have such awe for Hashem? It couldn't happen to all Gullus. Because what's going to happen is the physical world, the heart, is going to unite with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this that Hashem is going to pour his prophecy is going to mean it's coming down from high to low. There's going to be the union from low to high and from high to low. And this when Mashiach comes, we're going to have the unity of the higher and the lower on both levels. In other words, that the lower part is going to be elevated and the higher part is going to come down. How's that going to be? Because then we're going to have both components. The higher and lower, the way they're in the source where essence has the power. That means because it's coming from the deepest place of the source of the light where he could give off light and he could not give off light. And that's, and over there, it's really all one. And since the power to give off light and the power not to give off light, it's not two different powers, it's one power. So therefore, that's why higher and lower, which means revelation and concealment, when the source is going to be revealed, the way in its in its source, it's totally going to come connected, and it's going to totally become one. And this is the explanation when the prophet is, V'nocha olav ruach Hashem, What's going to rest upon him? The Spirit of Hashem. Ruach, what is the Spirit referring to? It's referring to the light of the infinite part, the way it's sourced in the source of light. And where God has the power to and not to, when it's really all one, that's going to come down here, and that's going to unite everything. But we're going to have the revelation of the Spirit of Hashem. Like it's me with Mashiach, we're going to have real unity even in the physical details. And that's why the verse goes on to say, yes, once you have the unity, the verse says, Ruach Chachma Bina, the Spirit of Chachma Bina, two opposites come together, the Spirit of Eitz and Gvura, Das and Yerushem, because the fact is Chachma Bina is two opposites, but they're going to become one. They're going to become one, and that's why it's actually called in one Ruach, Ruach Chachma Bina, one Ruach. Because the fact is, in Chachma and Bina of Mashiach, what's going to be recognized? It's going to be recognized in a revealed way that they're coming from its source of Ruach Hashem. And over there, Ruach Chachma Bina, it's all one, and that's why they're going to be unified. And the same thing also applies to Eitzah and Gvura, and Das and Yira. Even though they're opposites, everything is going to become unified. And this is the connection of the Spirit of Chachma Bina, where it becomes one, to be able to rule righteously. Even though the we said before that the Messiah rules based on spirit, and spirit is what hovers over, because the fact is by Mashiach hovering over Makif, which is the Reach and the Pnimi Chachamim, it's all going to be one, and that's why he finishes continues on the verse the Gar Zaven Keves, that the wolf is going to be with the lamb. It's all going to, they're all going to be able to hang out together. That the unity of higher and lower is not only by the Messiah, but through Mashiach. He's going to be a mentor, and he's going to create this reality in the whole world, up to the point that the wolf is going to lie with the lamb, and even in the physical world. And like the verse says, Ki Mala Ha'aretz, the earth, the whole world will know the knowledge of Hashem. That even the physical world, the level of Doimim, the most inanimate object, will be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. And when is that going to happen? Be'bias Mashiach, Tzidkenu, Be'karev Mamash, with the coming of Mashiach very, very soon and very, very quickly. So here we have another powerful Chassidic discourse, really unbelievably powerful, about the real power of the oneness, and when we connect to the oneness. Once we connect to the oneness, that will create the ultimate revelation of Mashiach. And let's hope and pray that we experience the oneness, and we have the coming of Mashiach, and next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov. And happy Pesach.